The Run Home with Andy and Gazy.
We might be man down on Monday Matters, but that does not stop this award-winning segment from going to air and delivering every single Monday afternoon.
He's had sort of an injury-plagued start to the season, hasn't he, Sam Edmund?
He's
in and out a bit, a few soft tissues.
Real reliable, Lockie Scholl type, in and out, bit yo-yo type arrangement going on with...
First-to-be-dropped sort of action.
That sort of stuff, yes.
I'm suggesting that he needs to serve a probationary period, and if he's not going to be committed... then this is a coveted seat.
Well,
and if
he's
not prepared to make the commitment and just push through with a few little niggles, then we need to find someone worthy.
Well, that's true. I had plenty to put their hand up.
Nicky Negg?
Say they'll come in.
Mickey Lovett? Ash Mickey Brown?
Absolutely.
There's plenty of high-quality operators within this organisation.
Kane Corns.
Because he's not doing enough.
He's not busy enough.
Ooh, Kane Corns had an interesting weekend too.
Mm. Well, you're talking about with Luke Darcy and the comments on the Triple M network.
It was a bit...
Say that again.
It sort of come out of nowhere. It was just going along. We weren't going to talk about the fight with Brownie. And then Luke Darcy took the opportunity to really... Well, his question was about how Kane... deals with a sort of mean-spirited tone. That's his words, Luke Darcy. And I'm paraphrasing here. But the tone of his question was a little mean-spirited. You know what I'm saying?
I know
it was sort of a little...
I thought he handled
it very well.
There was a little...
Lovely return of serve.
Yes. A little orcs there for... But Darcy, a great man. He does a terrific job. But
no doubt.
It just... I don't know whether he misread the situation, but it... It was tense.
Your man, the chief, just
the chief didn't want to have any. He was well and truly in our man's corner. He was in. Well,
yes,
actually, they all piled
in. Triple M compatriots,
mate.
Corner.
They all started to pile on. I started to feel a little bit sorry for our man Luke, because I don't know if his intent was to go.
Well,
you know, sometimes you say things that comes out a little harsher than you think. Maybe there's a bit of that.
Well, I'll tell you what, as an aside, and I will take the opportunity to get the ball rolling here. His kid matters.
Oh,
Luke's kid matters.
Who gets the rising star this week? Is it Harley Reid or Sam Darcy?
Well,
Sam is still eligible.
Well, it'll be Harley Reid. It'll be Harley Reid.
He probably will
because
he broke seven tackles.
He's a beast.
The record is eight in one game.
He enjoys it. He does it with a smile on his face. He does. Mm. No, that was exciting. So, all right, I'll keep going. I didn't have this written down, but I'll say it. Sam Darcy matters. Sam Darcy matters in the very short term and the long term, because if Sam Darcy can do what he did regularly on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Then maybe, they might just think about Aaron Norton just drifting down to the other end of the ground to help out Liam Jones and a defence that badly needs somebody else who can provide an aerial presence. Buku Kamis was fantastic on the weekend. Absolutely. This wasn't one of yours, was it?
No.
Buku Kamis was fantastic on the weekend, but they are just one shy.
Yeah, Liam Jones was sensational.
He was magnificent, but they're just one shy in the air down that part of the ground. So, I don't know. They seem hell-bent reluctant on doing it, but we'll wait and see.
I'll tell you who doesn't like the way Sam Darcy's going about it. Rory Lobb.
Oh, no.
He needs an injury to get back in that side.
And his form matters to Rory Lobb.
English and Darcy.
Yeah.
You're not getting ahead of either of those two.
Or
Norton.
No. Mm. So there you go. I've kicked it off. So go on. Over
Very good. Grian Myers matters.
Oh, yeah.
Grian Myers. So he's not a big goal kicker, but he's one of the best small forwards in the comp. So last year, he had 41 goal assists. That's 11 more than the next best in the competition. He's got 6 in 4 games this year. Petrarca's leading the way with 10.
Ooh.
This weekend, 22 disposals, 7 inside 50s, 4 clearances, 2 goal assists. He's averaging 22 touches a game. Coaches' votes have come out of that game. Libba, 9.
What?
Myers, 9.
What?
Bontempelli, 5. So that's how high the coaches rated his game on the weekend, that he got 9 votes, and Bontempelli, who was unbelievable, got 5.
I find it hard to believe that Libba...
He got more than... I thought the best 3 players on the ground, whatever order you want, with Libba, Bont, and Jeremy Cameron.
I thought Libba's game was one of the most noteworthy individual performances. Ridiculous.
That just shows. He just inside 50 is so big these days. I mean, it's always been big, but with numbers back and all that, players just bomb away. But
he has
an uncanny knack of finding a teammate here on the chest.
Andrew.
Well, similarly, as we identify players that matter, and when you're a number one pick, the teenager, Harley Reid, he is going to matter. Looking at the champion data stats, he had 18 disposals, 4 clearances, 7 tackles, 6 score involvements, 2 goal assists, and kicked his first ever AFL goal. But the one that sticks out, and there was another number, I didn't write it down, but the way in which he can break tackles.
I think, go on.
Yeah, 7.
Was it? Yeah. Mm. It was a, I think, what?
He literally just said that about
did you?
2 minutes ago.
That is a big. Well, I was distracted with just doing some other research.
You're on air.
I am.
Maybe to research in the ad break.
I thought you mentioned someone else, didn't you?
No.
Did you say Harley Reid?
I was saying who gets the nomination, Darcy Reid. He broke 7 tackles.
Yeah, but I just wanted to put a point of emphasis.
What's the record for broken tackles in a game?
7, you just said,
eight.
Didn't you?
Eight.
Okay. Dustin Martin.
So game 4, he's almost got the record.
But certainly from the eye test, in a team that's not necessarily going all that well, he maybe that makes him, well, the numbers don't lie, but he stands out.
No, he's
clearly
phenomenal.
He's going to be a phenomenal talent. You can understand why last year everyone was just not overly, you know, that there might have been some decisions that needed to be made in order to give yourself the very best chance in order to get access to him.
I'll tell you what will matter at some stage in the next maybe 2 years, his signature's going to matter.
That's going to be a lot.
Yeah, it'll matter. I'm going to follow up from you. No, you don't have to. Why change now? Following on from your Grind Myers, and I'm going to have a couple because I did this quite cool. You know, I'm not good with maths and dates and all the rest of it, but Geelong's regeneration on the run matters. Myers 24. Now, apologies. I might have a couple of these ages a year out. Myers 24, Holmes 21, Guthrie 21, Parfitt 25, Dempsey 21.
Guthrie 21.
Yeah, Zach.
No, he's older than 21.
How old's Zach Guthrie?
26, 27.
Zach Guthrie.
He's been around for years.
Has he? Yeah. I've got his wrong. There you go. I've got him wrong. Parfitt 25, Dempsey 21, Bruin 21, Henry 21, not Jack, the other one. Mm-hmm. DeConey 23, Clark 19. We've all been waiting for Geelong to hit the cliff and tumble off it.
Right.
Old. That's all we've heard about Geelong. Ah, they're old.
Mm.
Well, there's a whole lot of blokes who are playing pivotal football for Geelong right now, and they're not old.
No.
The old,
25 years.
25. Well, there you go.
He looks 21.
He can stay in there. Mm-hmm. 25.
No, he's
fine.
Not over the hill.
He's at the peak. He's about to approach the peak of his powers. They have done this. Surreptitiously and effectively. And that all of these blokes, in fact, I'll just go through them. You'd say yes or no, they're going to be an integral part of the next generation of a very good Geelong team. Myers?
Yes.
Holmes?
Yes.
Guthrie?
Possibly.
Parfitt? Dempsey?
Maybe. Yes.
Bruin?
Yes.
Henry?
Yes.
DeConing?
Yes.
Clark?
Yes.
And they've got the kid they played last week, Toby Conway, the ruckman who didn't play this week. This is a football club. They're just, everything about Geelong Football Club is worthy of respect.
Sydney and Geelong, they just do it.
That's amazing.
Sydney had one down here and they've bounced back grand finals last year.
Well, the one thing advantage Sydney's got that Geelong doesn't have is the academy.
Well, Geelong sort of got an academy.
Where?
Well, players want to go back and play
South Barwon?
Well, Town and Bruin went back there and Henry went back there because they want to go
home. That's only because they're a good club.
Well, that's from where they're from
as well.
It's
not an academy.
Henry was homesick.
Okay. How homesick would he have been if Geelong had spent the last 5 years in the bottom three?
He would have found a way to get around
it. He wouldn't have been very homesick, I don't reckon. Go on. What do you got?
Now, honesty matters, of course. But sometimes I reckon honesty is ill-advised. Let's have a listen to St Kilda captain Jack Steele after their scrappy win at Norwood yesterday.
I'll be honest with you, Sodas. It doesn't really feel like an AFL game. It feels like a sort of bit of a pre-season game, bit of community series game. Yeah. Obviously, there's 4 points on the line, so you get reminded of that pretty quick.
I reckon Ross Lyon wants to hear that.
I understand what he's saying, though.
No, well, that's on you. Don't blame the venue and the field.
Yeah,
you got to get. There's 4 points on the line. Gather Round's not, it hasn't just bobbed up last week that you're playing in Norwood. Come switched on. Ross Lyon would hate that.
Well,
from his captain, honestly, it feels like a community series game. Come on, you got to be better than that.
Mm. Well, I think that what happens is that when you can't escape the environment, and I know what you're saying, and of course, absolutely, that's going to be the case, that you want them to be absolutely 100% locked in.
Yes, you do.
But when you're playing in those environments that aren't quite normally what you're accustomed to, not that you're going to be any less, but it has a different atmosphere about it.
Also, would have had.
What about when you play at Giant Stadium? You could say the same thing. There's no one here. It just feels like a practice game.
Didn't seem to be affecting Richard.
That's true.
Dustin Martin certainly didn't have the give the sense of it was a community series game.
No, I understand that.
Dusty's played in some pretty big games.
I understand that, but I can.
He had no trouble locking in.
I understand, but I can. I don't think the point is to say that. Well, just because he's saying that means he doesn't care. Or
no, it's all about not caring. I think it's an insight into their attitude and the fact they kicked one goal in the first half.
Yeah,
they weren't up for the fight.
Well, what do you mean they weren't up for the fight?
Well, they were 5 goals down against a Richmond side with half their team missing. They kicked one goal to half time.
It's not the progress result, it's the ultimate result. And ultimately, they got where they needed to get to.
The aliens came down and took over and they had a new side. I reckon Ross Lyon, if he heard that, would have gone, "Hey, Captain." I don't know if we want to hear that, mate.
That's far short.
Yeah, correct.
No, that's a very interesting observation from Jack Steele and an interesting pickup from you.
But in fairness to Jack, he was probably their best player. So he got it together. But I reckon it's just a snapshot of the way they approached that game. For some reason, they just weren't there.
And it might feed into a little bit of St Kilda. Like, they shouldn't have lost. Oh, I know you're an Essendon man, and everyone deserves to win the game. They win, but... No.
Points for a good effort.
No. But... if you're going to be a good team, you need to every week, all the time, no matter who, no matter where. Don't pick and choose. Lock in and be your best.
Of course, Andy.
Okay, well, this is... they had the Essendon game in the palm of their hand, and for some reason, Essendon was good enough to take it away from them. They nearly coughed up another one here.
What do you think Ross Lyon would have thought if he heard that?
Well, it depends on the individual and knowing the personality, because some people are saying that and they're just being honest about it.
I'm just being honest.
Yeah, it didn't affect his performance, but there is extraordinary things happen in incredible atmospheres. And as much as you're trying and you've got to put that out of there, but it's not a stereotypical environment that you're playing with, and how you adjust to that. Clearly the good ones.
But you'd have 6 or 7 games like that every year.
Well,
but you got Gold Coast, you got the Giants. Sometimes you play at the G in front of 22,000 in a 100,000 seat stadium.
Yeah,
like
no, you're not always going to be playing in front of 70,000, 60,000.
Right.
I understand, but I get what he said. This different atmosphere. You're playing in a foreign.
Oh, we get it.
Yeah. So I can appreciate what he. That's all I'm saying. I can appreciate what he was saying, how sometimes that takes a bit of an adjustment.
But if the captain's saying that, is that an insight into how the team was feeling?
Possibly, but I think we read a little bit too much in a comment like that, and we extrapolate that into something really negative when I don't think it always is.
More insightful than a negative.
Yes.
Come on. I'd never be negative of Jack Steele.
Mm. I think he should be dropped this week.
He's a bloke that has earned the respect of all of us, no matter what colours we were on our back, I reckon. We're here for Berwick BMW, offering convenient servicing for your BMW, the next day availability and multiple transportation options. Calm down, Keith. You're next. We've got to get to a break. Okay. And be best on ground around your yard and farm with your local brand, John Deere dealer, Gazy. Up next, Monday Matters continues.
Thank you.
The Run Home with Andy and Gazy.
I chatted to the umpire straight afterwards and he didn't hear what he said either. It was just that, the way it was said, and there was plenty of frustrations at that moment, quite clearly. Like, we let a lot of our players knew that the ball was touched, and we'd like to not let things boil over, but it's, as everyone knows, it's a really high, intense, high pressure game and emotions get high. Why I love playing with Clarkie is because he's a pretty feisty character and he wears his heart on his sleeve. And
so your conversation with the umpire, though, the umpire said to you he wasn't exactly sure of what Jordan said.
No, which is understandable. I think it was a pretty high, pretty loud intensity game, and there was some conversations with the umpire directly afterwards, and I think just kept on going, and maybe it got to a point where the umpire had enough.
No. It's not understandable at all,
no,
Alex
it's
Pierce.
It's you can't completely... play a free kick on the tone without knowing what he said.
So either Alex is not reflecting what was said in the heat of the moment correctly, or if he is, then we've got a major issue here. A major issue.
Well, particularly when it wasn't flailing the hand. It wasn't demonstrative.
Well, what he just said then was, it wasn't, he didn't know what was said, but it was the way it was said.
That's right.
Well, that's... you need to know what was said.
Correct.
What was said, the actual words here are 100% important.
Well, that's what decides whether it's free kick worthy or not.
Of course, and free kick that alters the outcome of a game.
Correct.
So what happens from, just before we get back to you, Keith, what happens now? If you're Laura Kane, what do you do now?
You need to find out exactly what happened.
Yeah, you do. You
like, exactly. Okay, what was said? What did you hear? You need to follow that up.
Oh, you need to follow that
Correct.
Up.
Correct. Because it sounds messy now.
Because there's been so many different versions of what was allegedly said. Because I think, and this is sort of a matters, what he actually said matters. It's not that, it's not just the fact, there is always context. And if you cross the line, you cross the line. Absolutely. But what you actually say needs to warrant the severity of the penalty that was provided in that context.
It needs to be highly abusive.
Got to be dissent.
It needs to be highly abusive. It needs to be personal, and it needs to be highly abusive for any up because of all the stuff that Gazy said at the start of the show. For an umpire at this level, in that moment of the game, to do what he did, not only refer it to go back to the middle, but to line it up at 30 out directly in front, it needs to have been as bad an example of dissent as is possible from player to umpire in that circumstance. Now, if Alex Pearce is right and the umpire didn't actually know what was said, but it was the way what was said... I find it
hard to believe. Not saying Alex is lying. I just find it hard to believe.
I think we all do.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that was a little bonus one that we just throw in there. Because you
know, that's a 2A.
Yeah, you know what else matters?
That is staggering, though.
The calls for captain's calls doesn't matter in the sense that I can't... In certain games, you can understand why technology and the introduction of technology into the AFL, I think... It gets a lot of feedback, but by and large, it's a really positive thing, I believe, because ultimately you want to do the very best you can to get the result correct. And, of course, you live examples on how you can improve those things. But with what took place, as disappointing as it was if you're a Fremantle person, and as impactful as it is that an incorrect decision ultimately played a very significant part in the result.
Yes.
That the game would be for the lesser if we're going to allow people on the field or someone involved in a club to stop the game in a field of play situation.
Rugby league do it.
To stop. Yeah, and it's a different game. And I think
basketball
with,
does it.
And again, it's a different game and it's played with circumstances that allow more readily allow that to happen.
Yeah, already has timeouts available, so the game stop starts all the time.
It'd only be two decisions max a game.
I'm just
playing devil's advocate.
If that
was on the boundary line, there'd be a bit the goal umpire and the boundary umpire on the field umpire would come together and discuss it. Why can't we have that with something like this?
Well, that might
be the argument.
There might be times when there are certain stoppages. There's certain stoppages where you might be able to expand it in certain circumstances. I'm not suggesting but in field play, as the example, albeit that it is very consequential, I think there's certain things you've got to live with, and this is one of them.
Aren't we reviewing too much stuff now already? Hasn't the review...
Well, when we can, it's a good thing.
Yeah, but hasn't the review system, as it was intended to be used, isn't it being overused?
Of course it is. Like every sport that brings
in review
systems.
That's right. So let's be the one sport that doesn't allow itself to be beholden to video replay. One of the great things about Australian rules football is the constant flow, the speed of the game, the unbroken nature of the contest. Okay, we want it to be as perfect as possible. We all do. Everybody wants, in a perfect world, every decision to be right all the time. But if we go down this road,
we're already gone down this road.
I think we've gone too far. That's my view. That's the point I'm sort of making.
I don't know if we've gone too far. I think the process, if there's a way, now it may not be possible, but if there's a way it can be sped up, then you get the best of both worlds.
Well, I think the ARC is trying to speed it up, but some of the stuff that's being sent up there at the moment, I can understand after last year why goal umpires are gunshot. I can totally get it, but there were a couple on the weekend. There was one on Saturday night that beggars belief.
Ollie Dempsey's goal. What were they looking? What did they think could have happened? Went through the middle of the goal.
Can you just check
that
to see?
It was about a metre from the post.
Oh, it was a long way in. A metre and a half.
Okay.
Well, that's a long way.
If an AFL, I don't even know who it was, whether it was.
But what, Andy, why?
If an AFL level goal umpire needs to review that, we're in trouble.
But they review every decision anyway.
Anyway, that's
right. So just say, back yourself, and on the off chance that you get a couple wrong, we'll stop.
What do we think of the Stengel one?
But hang on, before you get to that one, the thing that I think that there's always good when you've got communication between the umpires. Surely the field umpire that was in line with the goals, and he says, I want to review that. He comes and says, nah, mate, no need to review. That was a metre in on your way.
Yep. Maybe the field umpires have been told not to get involved. I don't know. I'm just...
Yeah, well, I think if it's that blatantly obvious...
That one was.
Sometimes then the umpire can give him a chop out and say, I'll take the hit. I'm the field umpire here. I've got...
Okay, good. I'm happy with that.
Listen, I hear what you're saying, but no, we don't need to review that. That's a goal, mate.
Well,
goal,
do that. Yeah.
Two hands up to the mouth.
Yep.
Goal.
I'm happy with that.
Mm. Yeah, 100%. Stengel, I still don't think that was a mark. I still think he was over the line. And that was one stage where the goal umpire backed himself, and then they overruled him on something that I don't think was definitive to overrule.
No.
I don't think Stengel took the mark. His body language indicated that he hadn't taken it.
I
don't think anyone in the vicinity thought he'd taken it inside the line.
Mm. I actually think, though, that, and I might be out here on an island, but I actually think in the percentages of probabilities, and we're splitting hairs here, so probably if you're doing that, you should go with what the goal umpire did at the moment. But I actually think they probably got it right. When you saw the catch...
Big call in the context of that game was a very big call.
I know, but...
Like, that was as big a call in the context of that game as the non-touch decision in the Carlton Fremantle game.
But this is, again, the point. It was bought in.
Oh, not quite as big.
It was a four-point margin at the end of the game.
Clear and obvious errors.
It didn't happen in the last...
That is not a clear and obvious error. So what are we looking for?
Didn't happen in the last 90 seconds, not as pointed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But
it's not,
of course, but it happened. It happened.
Yes.
And it was a four-point game.
And highly impactful. I don't disagree
with you.
They
kicked the goal, mate.
Yeah, highly impactful.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I think... If take the flip side, they didn't review it.
Yes.
Do you reckon we'd all be sitting here going, hang on, that should have been a mark.
Yeah, there would have been those.
It would have been a goal.
Yep, that would have.
But I think most would have gone, it's not definitive. So umpire's call.
Oh, okay. Mm. Here we get. Well, I know we're going to get to the. But this is where we as the collective need to go, okay, we're prepared to accept.
Well, that's what Ange Postecoglou said a while ago.
An acceptable level of human error to protect.
And he's right.
I couldn't agree with him more. So if we get one of those and it is a line ball,
unless it's our team, then it affects.
That's right. Let's not ring up Pipe at midday, Matt. You call, you get on.
Midday matters.
Yeah. That's right. And just pump him full of anger because they didn't go with the video
you don't
review.
Understand why they're angry?
Well, okay. So
that's all part of it. That's brilliant. Well, maybe, show that maybe Pipe puts together.
No, not Pot and Pipe. I'm just saying that's
he loves that sort of
well,
stuff.
The fans give him their voice. Give him a
and you're taking it down the wrong road. I'm not having a go at Midday Madness.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I love Midday Madness and I love the Pipe. It's 28-5. Nice, Mon. 26-5. Monday Matters rolls on.
Just before you go, if you entered our competition for the $10,000 diamond engagement ring, the Empress Diamond. Stick around. We're going to announce the winner today.
Ooh,
someone's going
after 5 o'clock, 10, between 000. 5 and 5:30. So if you've entered that competition, we are going to name the person that now has a $10,000 engagement ring to use in.
Is it closed? Have we got time for late entries?
No, all closed. All done.
It's all closed.
So all right.
Make sure you're listening if you entered.
Jesse Hogan matters. Not since Jeremy Cameron have they had a spearhead who's kicked 50 plus. Now last year Toby Green kicked 66. But he's a freak. Jesse Hogan has the capacity, if Toby Green keeps doing what he's doing, and there's every indication that he will, Jesse Hogan might be the missing link. They're all mature now, these blokes. They've grown up since they were these precocious young giants coming up and displaying all of the talent in the world, but maybe just learning what the whole cape is all about. He's on track to kick God knows how many this year. 16-4, leads the Coleman already. If he keeps going on this sort of trajectory.
He's going to kick 80.
He might just be the reason they win the flag. Mm. He might be the one. He might be the reason. And everything that Jesse Hogan's been through in his career, personal, physical, off the field, matters.
Moving clubs.
Oh, a whole lot of stuff he's had to battle. In fact, he's probably had the full gamut of stuff to deal mm-hmm. with off the field.
Yeah, lost his father.
Yep. Mm. It's going to be a really interesting watch. He now looks like a bloke. There are a couple of moments on the weekend where things didn't go his way. And rather than just kind of shrug the shoulders and accept the fact that, oh, well, he looks like a bloke now driven to be a very good AFL player. And, by this season's end, his story is going to be a very interesting one that runs parallel to what this footy team that he's part of is likely to produce.
Just before you carry on, a community service announcement here. A major incident on the corner of Elizabeth and Victoria Street outside Queen Vic Market. Mm. Dozens of emergency units responding. Whole intersection completely blocked. Major, major, major incident. Mm. Major again after that. So that's coming from 067.
Thank you.
It matters that the AFL didn't suspend Alistair Clarkson for his homophobic slur, because now it makes it impossible. Was that one of yours? We'll do it together. You and I have got this matter. It matters to both of us.
Should have gone earlier, mate. You've had three. You just didn't want to go with it.
As David Koch said, the parameters have been set. If they're thinking about suspending Jeremy Finlayson, how can they?
Well, they can. And
what would you be saying if you're Port Adelaide?
I guess it comes down to what was said, and I think that's a big part of it. You look at Tex Walker; with his racial slur, and they were very put in a very significant fine, 6 weeks, I think it was.
6 weeks, yeah.
For him. Now, I don't know exactly what it said, but I think what is actually said matters. And believe it or not, there are degrees, I think, these days of the level of the slur. But nevertheless, if you've made a homophobic slur, there needs to be a penalty, and it needs to be a meaningful penalty.
Yeah, and the one to Clarkson was a weak penalty. It was a weak penalty.
20,000.
For a man who's had a lot of prize, that was a weak penalty.
And 2 weeks suspended.
Weak.
Yes. And I think the way David Koch, the way I read his comments and trying to say that it is different, it may well be because we don't... I don't know. Does anyone really? Has it been announced exactly what
we
said?
We don't know who the player was.
So without knowing all that, well, then it's hard to be categoric with it all. But yeah, I think that we've come to a stage that we can't accept that.
Is it worse coming from a senior coach than a player?
I don't think it matters who it is. If it doesn't matter whether you're a coach or player. If you're involved out in that environment and you're playing. And you're part of the contest, and you're using that as a form of communication, and you're making those comments which are inappropriate.
I think it does.
Then it does matter.
I think it does. I think they
missed a chance.
There's a greater onus of responsibility on a senior coach than there is on a player. So to your point initially, I think they've painted themselves into a corner here, and I would think that Port Adelaide will be readying themselves if Finlayson is suspended. Now, we may sit here and think that he is absolutely deserving of suspension, and I'm sure that's probably our collective view. Mm. But in light of what's happened recently, I think it's going to be very hard for them to suspend him.
In general, in 2020...
100%
of all. I don't think they'll suspend him.
Well, I don't know how they can.
You haven't suspended a senior coach who's got said prize. Something along, as far as we know, similar lines.
Well, we don't know. That's the thing. We don't know what he said. But
as a general consensus, in 2024... player, coach, whoever, if they make a homophobic slur, should you be suspended?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so they missed a chance.
Yep. Mm. I guess if you put it as plainly and as clearly as that, then yes, that is correct.
All right, what do you got?
I don't know how to word this because it's not a football one, but it kind of is, and that is women's sport matters. And we're seeing it throughout the world, and more recently over the weekend with the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament. And it might be a little hard for people here in Australia to understand the impact that the NCAA tournament has, but this is one of the landmark events in sport in the country. And what we've seen with Caitlin Clark, who plays for Iowa, and they eventually lost today. They lost to South Carolina. Congratulations to South Carolina. They ended up winning 87-75. And South Carolina undefeated. But Caitlin Clark is a figure that's carried women's basketball the entire season, and their game that they played against the University of Connecticut, haven't got the numbers for the final game here today, it outrated the 2023 NBA Finals, every 2023 World Series game, the 2023 Orange Bowl and Cotton Bowl. They're two big, big, massive football games. The Masters, every single Masters that's ever, it's outrated that. It's outrated every tennis Grand Slam, men's and women's.
That's amazing.
And it's I think, an example that if you get the talent, and it's presented and marketed in the correct way. It can captivate an audience, and skill is skill, what regardless of what the sex is.
Yep.
And sports entertainment is there regardless of what the sex is. And if it's presented in the right way, and it's something that if you're AFL, NRL, WNBL here in Australia, you have a tangible evidence now that if you get it right, build it, and they will come.
Tell the stories properly. You have summed it up brilliantly. Mm. That is your best Monday matter ever. And on that note, let's go to a break. It's 18 minutes to 5.
The Run Home with Andy and Gazy.
And Julio, Monday matters, 13 minutes to 5. The winner of the $10,000 Empress Diamonds engagement ring is going to be announced sometime between 5.03 when we come back from the news. And give or take 5:26:27. So if you've put your entry in at iCanWin.com.au for the $10,000 engagement ring from Empress Diamonds, you need to be listening in that half an hour to find out whether you've won it or not. Monday matters. I think we all suspected that Damien Hardwick would matter, right? And it's too early to know just yet how much he's going to matter. But there was something about them on the weekend against GWS that was just a bit, we've seen them play some flashy football in the past, and they've caused their upsets, and they've had a couple of big scalps along the way here and there, the Gold Coast Suns. But there was something about them on the weekend that was hard to put your finger on, but identifiable. Now, they took that the big week at the selection table.
That was justified, wasn't it? Well, even though they didn't win the game.
No question it was, because some of the players they brought in were exciting, and the kid Chloesi is like, I'm sure that's not just a flash in the pan. The two kids they brought in are going to be long-termers. He's going to get players to play a brand of football that he wants them to play or they're not going to play. And there were a couple of big names that didn't play last week who you assumed would always be in that 22 if they were fit and available for selection. They were outstanding for three quarters in a high-quality game. Admittedly, they've got Hawthorn this week. Now, everyone at home, everyone's going to go, well, of course, they should win that game. But they need to make a bit of a – they need to come out this week, the Gold Coast, and frank that performance against GWS. It matters – in a little tiny way for the here and now, what they do against Hawthorn.
They not just win.
No. I think they need to come out and make a little mini statement early in the season against the Hawks.
What does that mean? Six goal win? Comfortable.
I think a comfortable win. And I'm not being disrespectful to Hawthorn, but they're struggling with a squad at the moment. The same cannot be said for Gold Coast.
Good call. Now, over summer, there's a lot of focus at Port Adelaide on the recruitment of Asava Radigalia and Brandon Zirk-Thatcher, who have both been good. Brandon Zirk-Thatcher, he must be lovely. he goes and stands on a Kyle Langford size. Last year, he would have been standing on Charlie Dixon.
No doubt.
But Ivan Soldo matters just as much. He's never going to be an All-Australian.
No.
But he gets his hand on the ball enough. He's 10th in hit-outs. And he's got just that physical presence that these young gun Port Adelaide midfielders need. He was great on the weekend.
He was
very good against Draper and Goldstein. He's been good to start the year. They didn't have to go and break the bank to get a gun ruckman, but I think he fits them perfectly.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but?
No, just there was one moment on the weekend where he maybe, you know.
Didn't go as hard as he should have.
Well, it's hard for people like you and me to say this because we've never played at that level. No, well, that's what people who haven't played at the elite level to say. But there was just a little moment. There's a little moment for Josh Weddle on the weekend where he felt it coming
Mitch
from
Duncan
beyond.
Had one as well.
They all have
it,
right?
It happens.
Everything else, I agree with you. He's big, strong, powerful, and he's got a bit of meanness about it.
Yep.
And if he brings all of that all the time, then I think I agree with you. I think he's going to be a really important part of whatever they're going to produce. And yeah, it might be pretty exciting what they produce later in the year.
Multiple gather rounds doesn't matter. Oh. And there were some conversations over the weekend, I believe coming from very high up in the AFL, that they're looking at potential multiple gather rounds.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah, it was. There was a conversation.
Well, Tom Morris had the story that he had seen some documents suggesting when Tassie comes in, because obviously you've got an uneven amount of teams, that someone would miss out on gather rounds. So you might have two to three gather rounds a season.
Or three gather rounds. Now, I understand because of just the incredible success and the way in which Adelaide have been able to put this on, and the entire AFL and the state of South Australia and the city of Adelaide need nothing but compliments for the way in which they've constructed an event, which is amazing. And I say that there are many places that can do, not many, there are some other places around the country that could benefit and also put it on well. But notwithstanding that, I cannot in any world see how there'd be multiple gather rounds, because one, I assume it means more games that the players are going to have to agree to, which they seemingly haven't been overly supportive.
Not necessarily if it's working in with the bye, as in uneven amount of teams.
Well, but if you're going to add another gather round, two more gather rounds, it means it's got to be more games, unless you're going to take away games from...
Well, that's what you would do. I think that's what
you wouldn't, of course. But then you're giving up home games to some, and already there are some, including the great Lee
Matthews. Why is he talking about?
Lee Matthews saying that Adelaide should play Port Adelaide because they gain an advantage. Now,
come on.
One game out of 23.
In such a compromised fixture.
Exactly.
Where the team he coached,
where
Danny
you got
would
one
play.
Team playing, what, 17 games at the MCG or Come whatever on. It is. I don't know whether that argument completely holds up. Factually, it's true, but I don't think, given the unevenness of it. But I think we need to, the multiple gather rounds is
a bad idea.
Less is more.
It doesn't matter.
It's a pox and it doesn't matter. And it matters so little, let's never have the conversation again, please. Let's never hear about it.
I think it's a stupid idea.
A bit extreme, but...
You have one gather round a year.
Yeah, I agree.
It's in Adelaide.
It's gather round.
For your land,
not gather rounds.
No, it's gather round.
Gather round.
Yeah, but just...
It matters that they're building a venue in the Barossa Valley.
You're to have the conversation. Just don't do it. That's all
it's just saying. A stupid idea. So who's ever bowled it up, it's a stupid idea.
The captain's call, you think it's a stupid idea, but you can still have the conversation.
Yeah. That's right.
That's what your man Lee Montagne said. I don't think it's necessarily a great thing. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. It's a poor idea, but don't let him have the conversation and flush
it out.
You're
allowed to say it's stupid.
Hey?
You're allowed to say, if you think it's stupid, you're allowed to say it's stupid.
And it is stupid.
Of course. But you've actually said you're not even allowed to talk about it.
Well, I said, no, let's
don't
not.
Waste your breath.
No, let's say let's not talk about it ever again.
Right. Oh, us.
Yeah, whoever.
Oh, right.
It's been spoken about. It's a stupid idea.
Got it. It's done.
Not happening. Well done.
Complicated it, but you know what we mean.
Who needs Edmund? It's 6 minutes to
five. Ta-da, Edmund.